Hello and welcome to The Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. I'm Dan O'Donoghue, the Press and Journal's Westminster correspondent. And what a week it's been in Scottish politics. We've had U-turns, apologies, a no-confidence vote, the return of Ruth Davidson, and fresh information out of the Salmon Inquiry. Here to talk us through it all is Tom Peterkin, the P&J's political editor, and Cheryl Peebles, the Courier Schools editor. I'll perhaps start with the story that has been affecting so many this last week, the results debacle. Tom, can you give us the lowdown on the politics side of all this?
This is to do with the SQA and the fact that there were no exams this year because of the coronavirus. A mechanism had to be sought to how to grade children, and this was based on teacher assessments, which were then moderated by the SQA, and in fact resulted in 124,000 results at N4 higher and advanced higher being downgraded from the original teacher's assessment. Now, this caused absolute fury, as you might well imagine, huge amount of disappointment from those that sat the exams, their parents, the teachers. The situation was made worse because the moderation process used was perceived to have made life more difficult for children from poorer families because it was based on schools' past performance. So last week there was this enormous controversy affecting thousands, I think more than 75,000 children or pupils or youngsters. So this put an enormous amount of pressure on the Education Secretary, John Swinney, and Labour tabled a motion of no confidence, which last week, which duly got the support required for it to be heard on the parliamentary floor this week. So John Swinney was under an enormous amount of pressure, and I was working on Sunday when, you know, we began to see the first signs of a huge U-turn, basically. And John Swinney put out a short statement saying that he'd heard the anger of the pupils sitting the exams, and he was going to act. I'm paraphrasing here, but basically the tenor of the statement, the tone of the statement, was that he was going to act to put this right. So eventually, I think on Tuesday, he made a statement to Parliament in which he said that the grades which had been allocated by teachers would stand, and the grades that had been moderated upwards would also stand. And this was an attempt to try and diffuse the row. Clearly it was welcomed by the children, but the whole way this has been handled meant that the calls for him to resign, you know, they simply didn't go away. And on Thursday late afternoon, Mr. Swinney was subjected to a no confidence vote in Parliament, where all the opposition parties voted for the motion of no confidence, apart from the six Green MSPs who voted with the SNP, basically to save John Swinney's political skin. So there we have it in a nutshell, I suppose. But it's been I can't think of a more sort of dramatic U-turn. I mean, John Swinney's already performed a U-turn on the blended learning during the coronavirus, and he may have survived, but I mean, his credibility, I would suggest, has taken a battering with, opposition parties. I mean, one of the striking features of the no confidence debate was that, you know, across the parliament, but across parties, people were acknowledging John Swinney's sort of decency as a politician, etc., and his reputation he has for being well intentioned, but time and again politicians were standing up and saying, well, this is not just about this exams humiliating U-turn, but it's also about his record as a whole, and listing another U-turn on his education reforms, the fact that his education bill didn't get enough support or was pulled because it didn't have enough support, the revolt on P1 testing, um, uh, you know, um, uh, Scotland slipping down the global rankings in certain subjects. So really a very, very difficult week for Mr. Swinney.
But certainly, I mean, the SNP line on this seems to be that, well, you know, there were issues, we listened, and we've decided to change our minds. I mean, that's seemingly what they're trying to sell. I mean, do you think that'll wash with people? Or do you think people are keen to move on from this now? I mean, of course, you know, there's been a huge similar situation in England this week with the results, and that's probably moved the news story along a little bit, given Gavin Williamson, the English Education Secretary, has said they won't be taking similar action to what was taken in Scotland. Now a lot of Scottish MPs are saying, well, you know, look, we listened and we've changed. Do you think the news agenda's moved on now, or do you think this might stick to John Swinney?
Well, he obviously did enough to survive. You know, basically, by making this U-turn, he managed to get the support of the Greens. So that got him out of the hole he was in on Thursday during the vote of no confidence. And you're right, this is what we heard from Nicola Sturgeon, who stepped in to defend him during this debate. She was saying, you know, John Swinney is big enough to say that he got this wrong, or the results were wrong, and he has apologized and he has taken action to put it right. This is a, you know, as far as Nicola Sturgeon is concerned anyway, that she's saying that this is a measure of the man. This is a strength of him rather than a weakness. Now, on the other hand, you've got the Tories and Labour and the Lib Dems saying, well, look, you know, he knew about, he'd been warned about this from people, including the Greens, that he'd been warned for since the beginning of this process that basing the moderation process on schools' past results was going to create all sorts of problems and was going to, you know, increase inequality and harm kids from the poorer backgrounds. So he obviously as by making such a screeching U-turn, he's got through the vote of no confidence, but this will be, I can't imagine that there's no political damage from this, and that it becomes another enormous controversy that affects a lot of children that under John Swinney's watch. So, and I'm not sure it's over yet. I mean, today we have the breaking news that the man he's put in charge of reviewing the exams process, Professor Mark Priestley from Stirling University, has been sort of tweeting his support of the SNP during a recent election, or a reasonably recent election. So this row is going to rumble on.
Mm. I mean, Cheryl, behind the politics of this, and really at the heart of it all, there are tens of thousands of young people worried about their futures. Would you just talk us through kind of what you've been hearing this week from kind of teachers, schools and pupils, and how it's been affecting them?
Yeah, that's right. I think when Mr. Swinney made his U-turn on Tuesday, there would have been a lot of young people who might not take such a keen interest in politics normally, glued to their screens to hear what he had to say. When he began tweeting at the weekend, it generated hopes that something might be about to change. So there was massive relief on Tuesday when this U-turn was announced and that they were to revert back to teachers' estimates. One parent I spoke to told me her daughter was absolutely over the moon that this had happened. She had been expecting B's and ended up getting C's and D's in her grades. There were so many pupils were relying on these results as well for university places, for example. It was good that it happened reasonably quickly. It was only a week after the results came out that this decision was made, so people didn't have to wait too long. And with the places just relying on this, that needed to happen quickly.
It seems the different ways of handling this in England and Scotland have had, you know, very different effects. In England, you've had this policy of pupils can appeal, and there's a two-tier way to appeal their grades. In Scotland, obviously, there's been a kind of complete change. I mean, it seems from what you're saying that there's a lot of relief in Scotland among pupils at the system that has been adopted. That seems maybe the way to go, it sounds.
Definitely. They don't have to go through these appeals now. They're just waiting on their new certificates being issued with their new results, which is fantastic news for them. Teachers as well. I mean, one of the teaching unions, EIS, has said that this U-turn has upheld teachers' professional judgment. Teachers had gone the extra mile in sort of judging what their pupils' performance would be over the last few weeks. And that union had warned that there would be an outcry if this process went ahead as it had done. The other thing, I mean, the young people affected, these are the voters of the future. So it was important to make sure that their voices were heard. And what was also good to see was the way that young people were mobilised by this as well. I mean, so many of them, they contacted their local MSPs. They made a huge noise on social media. There was protests in Glasgow and, I believe, at the SQA headquarters. So they really spoke up. There was a petition as well that gathered about 44,000 signatures. So young people really made their voice heard in this issue, and thankfully it was heard.
Do you think, I mean, given, you know, we're told all the time that, you know, coronavirus is not going anywhere and we still don't have a vaccine, do you think lessons will have to be learned for potentially next year? I mean, I don't know what you're hearing from schools, teachers, parents, unions. I mean, is there any fears that we could have a similar situation next year with something like this?
Yeah, definitely there is. Yeah, I mean, we still don't know. Will the exams be able to go ahead next year? Who knows? Nobody has that crystal ball, unfortunately. So there is a concern. One person I spoke to did say this needs to be fixed. We need to fix this in case we have to go through the same system next year. We can't have pupils being affected the way they were this year. I mean, although the pupils will get the results that they deserve this year, this set of results is, nobody's going to forget this.
Now, another person who's been marked up or down this week, depending on your political persuasion, is Ruth Davidson. The former Scottish Tory leader returned to the fore this week of First Minister's questions. Now, let's remind ourselves of what happened.
Presiding Officer, next week marks 5 years since Nicola Sturgeon announced that education would be her number one priority. And in those 5 years, she's pulled Scotland out of international tests, her flagship education bill was scrapped, named person was struck down by the courts, poor students have been punished by a persistent attainment gap, hundreds of teacher vacancies are left unfilled, and we've just seen the biggest exam fiasco in the history of devolution. John Swinney has been the common denominator through all of this. Now, the First Minister's loyalty to a colleague may be commendable, but her real loyalty should be to the parents and the pupils of Scotland. They deserve new leadership in education, and John Swinney cannot deliver it. Why won't the First Minister see that?
First Minister.
I'm not sure loyalty to colleagues is a strong suit for Ruth Davidson. Ruth Davidson says, I won't write to universities. The reason for that is because John Swinney has already spoken to the universities. She says we won't publish how SQA is working. The reason I won't instruct them to do that today is because they did it last week. And of course, in terms of teachers in our schools, there are more teachers in our schools today than there was when I became First Minister, and we've just funded local authorities to employ more teachers in our schools. But you know, let's come to, and forgive me, Presiding Officer, you know, my mind is not particularly on political matters this morning, but Ruth Davidson wants to have this kind of exchange. She really should think about the position from which she seeks to do it. Because just in a few months, I will submit myself and my government to the verdict of the Scottish people in an election. That is the ultimate accountability for our record and our leadership. And as we do that, Ruth Davidson will be pulling on her ermine and going to the unelected House of Lords. So can I gently suggest to Ruth Davidson that when it comes to holding to account and scrutinising politicians, she's really not coming at this from a position of strength, because it is not me who is running away from democratic accountability.
Well, we know what Nicola Sturgeon thinks. Tom, is it a pass or a fail for you?
I'm glad I'm not a teacher having to assess a child's... well, I think what you saw there is a mixture of the two, I'd say. I mean, what you saw there was in the first instance, there can't have been a more fertile territory for Ruth Davidson to make her come back to frontline politics to have a go at the SNP administration. You know, as she said, this huge exams fiasco. And before that exchange, we'd heard Ruth Davidson asking about, you know, can you guarantee that all these children with the soaring pass marks, can you guarantee that all these children will get to university? And Nicola Sturgeon saying, well, no, she's not in a position to guarantee places, but they will make sure that children are not crowded out. So, we heard Ruth Davidson at the beginning really pretty combative, and it really was a reminder of the days when she was Tory leader in the not so distant past. But then, as you heard there, she made this remark about loyalty, talking about, you know, suggesting that Nicola Sturgeon's loyalty to John Swinney was commendable but misplaced, and that of course just
brave.
a brave remark, which of course Nicola Sturgeon saw the open goal and shot straight in with her reference to the Ruth Davidson has been accused of plotting to get rid of Jackson Carlow as a Tory leader. There was this meeting that she had at Douglas Ross's house some time before Jackson Carlow quit. So yeah, I mean, as Ruth Davidson was, you know, that was a gift for Nicola Sturgeon, basically. And I'd just given my crystal ball a wee polish because I think I wrote in the paper that this sort of exchange is going to be the sort of template for FMQs to come because there you heard, you know, Nicola Sturgeon, it's politics back to normal. Nicola Sturgeon is just going to rip her to shreds for going into the House of Lords. And then we saw it, you know, the remarks about pulling on your ermine et cetera, and contrasting that with her, you know, willingness to put herself in front of the electorate. And of course, Ruth Davidson would have known that this was coming. So in fact, shortly afterwards, after the clip, Ruth Davidson's retort was, you know, well, we have, former leaders of Tories and Labour, Lib Dems have all gone into other parliaments. But your predecessor as leader, i.e. Alex Salmond, was, she mentioned Putin's Pravda. Basically, she was having a go at Alex Salmond for broadcasting on Russia Today. So she'd obviously thought out her response to it. But, as Sturgeon said, the First Minister had obviously touched a raw nerve with this remark about the House of Lords. So I think that is going to be... That sort of line of attack is going to be repeated as we go on. So I think Ruth Davidson might be quite tricky for Ruth Davidson.
I mean, as you say there, you know, this is kind of going to be on the set menu every week now. This is going to be a regular attack line thrown out there by the SNP. I mean, what do you think the Tory strategy is here? Because they must have kind of realised that this is the way it was going to go. And we're on the march now to the Holyrood elections. And obviously every single week kind of, pointed out Ruth Davidson is on her way to an unelected house, and the fact that obviously Jackson Carlow resigned or is rumoured to have been thrown overboard. You know, so all this stuff is going to just keep circulating. Is that a winning strategy for Holyrood? It doesn't sound like one.
No, I think they must be hoping that Ruth Davidson's personal appeal can overcome this, because I mean, there's no doubt that Ruth Davidson, certainly on her past record, does have the ability to appeal to a broad range of voters, and I think the Tories must also be hoping that they can really get stuck into the SNP on the domestic record, on these controversies about education and health and so on, and they'll also, we will be seeing a lot more of Douglas Roth, albeit not at First Minister's Questions, obviously. So he, you know, they're going to have to really boost his profile, boost, you know, try and persuade the public that he could be a credible, well, First Minister, really, or at least leader of the opposition.
Cheryl, I just wondered what you made of that clip there, because I mean, I always feel a bit uncomfortable. It's worse in Westminster, but whenever there's a, you know, a serious issue being debated affecting thousands of people, and you hear MPs cheering and whooping and clapping and all the rest of it, it doesn't really sit well. And given there'll be people watching the debate outside who are affected by the issue, I mean, you know, that was the first, I think, FMQ since all this results debacle, and you would have had, I imagine, a lot of young people watching. We all understand the politics of it, and it's a bit of argy-bargy between Ruth Davidson and Nicola Sturgeon, but still, was that the gravitas and the seriousness that you would expect from, you know, an elected chamber given the week we've just been through?
Not really, no. I mean, you have political jousting like that, but to the young people affected, it's not politics, is it? It's their lives that have been affected, their dreams that were on the line when all this happened. So to listen to it being used in that way must be quite galling. Mm. They spent a week worrying. I mean, they must have been crushed when they got out results, that when they were expecting maybe an A and they got a C, they must have felt really, really crushed. And then to hear sort of debate along those lines must be quite upsetting when you've been in that sort of position, I think.
And now, finally, from today's edition of The Sushi, I believe we've got an update from the ongoing Salmond inquiry. Tom, would you mind talking us through that?
This is going to be a big political event next week, is that the Permanent Secretary, Leslie Evans, is going to be giving evidence to the committee that's been set up at Holyrood to investigate the Scottish Government's botched inquiry into harassment claims that were made against Alex Salmond. Now, this is the Alex Salmond took a judicial review looking at the government's process and the way that it handled the complaints, and ruled that what had been done was tainted by bias and in fact unlawful, and this led to the Scottish Government having to meet £500,000 of Alex Salmond's legal costs, which obviously is a huge embarrassment for the Scottish Government, and therefore there's been an investigation launched. And the I suppose one of the things that happened yesterday is that the FDA union, which represents sort of senior civil servants, there was a submission from them published by the committee, which talked about the working culture when Alex Salmond was First Minister. It said that there was concerns about bullying behaviour in the former First Minister's office and other ministerial offices, and also talked about a sort of culture of fear at the top of government when Alex Salmond was in charge. Perhaps I should also say that the FDA submission did not mention any ministers by name, nor did it claim that Alex Salmond was responsible for this behaviour. It also suggested that that civil servants didn't have trust that their, you know, didn't trust that their complaints would be sorted out properly. So yeah, an interesting. I mean, similar sort of evidence to things that were heard in Alex Salmond's criminal trial. But yeah, sort of another interesting sort of light being shone on claims being made about the Scottish Government when Alex Salmond was in charge. So it's a bit of a taster for next week, I suppose.
And next week, is that going to be kind of wall-to-wall coverage, you think? Or they'll be kind of very straight down the line, you know, one document a day type thing? Or is it going to be kind of one big cachet of documents? How do you think it's going to play out
next week? Next week the highlight or the thing that people will be very interested in, it will be, you know, what exactly Leslie Evans says, and this is the first time someone has appeared in person in front of the committee. So in that sense, it will be a very newsworthy event. There'll be bits of documents published from time to time as we go on. But I think, you know, the theatre of it, if you like, will be the appearance of witnesses, because we're also expecting Nicola Sturgeon, Alex Salmond, Nicola Sturgeon's husband, Peter Murrell, just to mention, who's the chief executive of the SNP, just to mention a few names. So, you know, it's certainly going to have a feeling of an important news event, that's for sure. It's also, you know, that there's a lot of anticipation about it, I suppose, but particularly perhaps in the opposition parties, because there's these suggestions that this may sort of reveal splits in the SNP between the Sturgeon and the Salmond camps. And it's quite interesting, you know, people for a long time have been predicting that the various controversies surrounding Alex Salmond, the various cases and so forth. Of course, he was acquitted of charges of sexual assault in a criminal trial. You know, that these would expose these divisions and would cause the SNP, you know, huge political difficulties. Doesn't appear to have quite happened like that so far. So I think a lot of the opposition politicians are looking at this and sort of, you know, they realize that it's, you know, we don't know what's going to come out of this, obviously, yet, and just how damaging it's going to be. But, you know, I don't think, you know, if you're an opposition politician, you'd be unwise to be sort of relying on this to as a trump card ahead of next May's election. But anyway, who knows what will happen? It will be extremely interesting one way or another.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a bumper week for you, Tom. I'll be following every twist and turn of your copy on the P&J and Courier sites. And just finally today, it's something that me and my colleague Tom are chasing today. We're asking MPs and MSPs if they have had a holiday this year. Obviously, a lot of people have put off holidays till next year. I just wondered if you had a holiday, Tom, this year. Cheryl, have you had a staycation somewhere, or is it just kind of staying at home for you this year? You got to kind of palm it off till next year, do you think?
Yeah, we had a staycation. Yeah, we dug out the tent this year and had a couple of days away camping, so that was fantastic. We went up to Speyside area where I'm from, so we had a great time. It was great. Yeah, I mean, we had reasonably decent weather, and Scotland's a fantastic place to go on holiday when you get the good weather, so why not?
Oh, sounds lovely. What about yourself, Tom?
Yeah, I had a brilliant staycation. It was so much of a staycation that I stayed at home. unlike you, Cheryl, I'm afraid we did have plans to go up to the sort of Speyside area, but we actually ditched them just because we're pathetic. And but we had a really nice time at home, some time off, and I got a game of golf, which was, that was really all I was after. Played horrendously, of course, but a very memorable summer.
Oh, sounds lovely. I myself have not needed to go on holiday this year because we've just had a heat wave and I recorded a temperature of 36 degrees in my kitchen as I was trying to file some press and journal copy. So it was Spain minus the beer. So thanks for listening, everyone. That's all from us today. I've been Dan O'Donoghue, and please do listen again next week.
The Stooshy is the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media, bringing together political journalists and commentators from all over the country so that you are better briefed. Teams at The Courier, The Press and Journal, The Evening Telegraph, and The Evening Express work hard every day online and in print to bring you careful reporting and analysis to help you understand the implications of what happens in Holyrood, Westminster, and beyond. Subscribe to The Stooshy today. Recommend us to friends and family. Rate and review it if you have a moment, and let us know what you think of what we cover and how we cover it on Twitter and Facebook. We're Stooshy Scott on both. Be better briefed with The Stooshy from DC Thompson Media.